Shadows of Liberty Screening and Media Reform Action Tour, Friday, December 12th at 7 p.m. at the Oregon Labor Center in Portland. The documentary film Shadows of Liberty reveal insider accounts of a broken media system with renowned journalists, activists, and academics, including Amy Goodman, Danny Glover, Julian Assange, Norman Solomon, Chris Hedges, and more. This film champions the idea of an independent media where truth and integrity are the norm, not the exception. Again, that's the Shadows of Liberty Screening and Media Reform Action Tour, Friday, December 12th, 7 p.m. at the Oregon Labor Center, 3645 Southeast 32nd Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Well, this is Fight the Empire. My guest today is Robert McChesney, who is a prolific author, and he's a professor of communication at the University of Illinois. And his most recent book, which we are going to be discussing, is called Blowing the Roof Off the 21st Century. But first, I want to make a real fast clarification from about a previous show. My last show, my guest was Gideon Levy, who is a writer for Haaretz in Israel. And we talked about the hill in Jerusalem where the temple, the Second Temple, once stood, which is now occupied by Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock, which are holy places for Muslims. And a listener wrote in to say that the Second Temple was not Herod's temple, as we said, that it was actually built by returning Jews from the Babylonian captivity. And this is very true. But later on, that temple was greatly enlarged by King Herod, and it is called Herod's Temple by many people in Israel. So there it is. It was built by the returning captives, and it was later enlarged by King Herod. And to me, the important thing is that there are people in Israel now who want to rebuild that temple. They want to build a third temple, which would actually involve destroying the Muslim shrines, and this could very well lead to war. So having made that clarification, now we will turn to our guest, Robert McChesney. Welcome to KBU.
Hey, it's my pleasure to be here.
Well, you know, I read your book, and boy, it's a lot of good stuff in there. One little quote really jumped out at me was, to stay alive today, capitalism is eating our future. Tell us more about that.
Well, capitalism, the system we have, the profit-driven system, our economic system, I think is increasingly dysfunctional in terms of what an economy ought to do for a human society, so that what passes the profit growth in capitalism today comes at the expense of privatizing public services. You can make money doing what had been done by the government, and it's done usually more poorly with bigger profits. And we're seeing this grotesque privatization of public schools, of military, police, prisons, and it's huge profits for the short term for corporations, for investors, for the rich. But lousier services and sort of a deconstruction of society otherwise. And you can go beyond that to just the environmental issues and energy, where the profits are now, and the short-sightedness of that. But in general, I think the more important point, the broader point at least, is that, you know, if there was sort of an upswing to capitalism historically, and which was a dynamic and growing system, that period, whenever you want to date it, is in capitalism's rearview mirror. We're now in the downward slope, and we're living with the consequences of that type of world.
Well, it seems like this system is not long for this world. What do you see following it? You talk about post-capitalist democracy. What would that be like? How do we get there?
Well, what I do in the book, the subtitle of the book is Media, Politics, and the Struggle for Post-Capitalist Democracy. And, you know, I say that the central crisis of our times is we have to get rid of capitalism. And capitalism, though, so I'm not talking about that sort of textbook fantasy capitalism that politicians talk about and the Chamber of Commerce talks about, of little guy entrepreneurs, you know, competing with each other, to let the free market work its genius.
Well,
that has as much relevance. That type of capitalism has as much relevance to the United States as the talk about workers' paradise did to the Soviet Union in the 1930s.
Well, that's sort of like free enterprise. I mean, that's, anybody can do that. Even a co-op or a workers' collective can do that. But that's not capitalism, is it?
Yeah, so my point is that the real world of capitalism is gigantic corporations and billionaires who own the government, rig the system, and screw people over in a declining quality of life for the bulk of the population. That's the real world we're in. And that capitalism has got to go. And when I talk about post-capitalist democracy, I say that we shouldn't get too hung up on coming up with a perfect system to replace capitalism before we do anything. Instead, we've got to understand that what we need to do is increase democratic participation in institutions, their strength and vigor in the society, and from that will grow a better economy that will be post-capitalist, that will invariably lessen the power of the rich, of profit-making, of large corporations, and increase the power of the people.
Well, since this show is Fight the Empire, let's sort of focus on what you call the military triangle.
Well, yeah, that's one of the big themes in the book, is that U.S. capitalism is dominated by extraordinary amounts of militarism, national security spending, and it's really a crucial part of our political economy. It's hardwired into the bone marrow, if I can mix my metaphors, of modern capitalism. We spend over $1 trillion a year when all the costs are factored in on militarism and national security. Almost all of it is completely wasted spending. I think that I've seen cogent arguments that we could basically get rid of most of our Navy, most of our Air Force, if not all of it, and much of the spending in the crazy weapon systems and be far better off, certainly no less secure. But this is an enormous institution that buttresses the economy. The people that benefit by it own the politicians. So there's absolutely no debate about this at the in the political class. Both parties are totally signed off that this is an off-limit subject. American people are not allowed to debate its propriety. So it's really a central thing that has to be gotten rid of, because the consequences of endless militarism in the national security state in general are disastrous for democracy. They're disastrous for freedom. And so that's why it's such an elevated issue in the book.
Well, we can sort of see that this, even though the Cold War is supposedly over, the Soviet Union has collapsed, but now they're talking about a new Cold War. Like this warrior mentality it can't just stop. It has to keep going.
Well, that's right. That's right. It's sort of like back in the 30s, there was this great heavyweight champion named Joe Louis, who's so much better than all his competition that he had no one to fight after a few years of being champ. So he just dragged some dude off a bar stool down by the docks. They called him the bum of the month just to give him some competition. They'd have a heavyweight fight. And sort of what we go through with militarism in American society is like a bum of the decade or a bum of the generation. There's always an excuse given to have total militarism and permanent warfare. And they're always drummed into hysterical levels by the media that sort of makes it sound like, imminent demise is upon us if we don't just go to total war or be prepared for total war. But historically, and I think critically, we can see it's almost entirely BS. And no more true than today, where the war on terror is just a pathetic bum of the month to justify $1 trillion militarism spending. I mean, it'd be like Joe Louis fighting a 65-year-old, 90-pound blind person. because, I mean, terrorism, it doesn't even pass the giggle test. It's something to justify a military-industrial complex, but it worked well at the hysteria level to get people whipped up into sort of like, I will ask no questions of my leader's mindset, which militarism depends upon.
Wow. Well, you can sort of see this happening in Ukraine right now, and we can see the complicity of the media, which we can talk about later. But right now, I would like to go out to our friends here at KBOO, and they can tell you why it'd be a good idea for you to become a member of KBOO.
That's right. Thank you, Per. The best way to become a member right now, and we're very, very excited today because it's going to be a short pledge drive. It's only a few days long, but it's very, very important that we raise the funds to keep this station going. And if you pledge, no, sorry, when you pledge today, you'll be, we'll have matching donations. So you can double your money, literally double your money. You put down a dollar, we get two. You put down 10, we get 20. So it's a terrific time to pick up the phone and dial 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. Isn't that right, Lynn?
That's right, Will. And right now, you can also get your hands on this book by Robert Macheski, Blowing Off the Roof of the 21st Century, Media, Politics, and the Struggle for Post-Capitalism.
Wow.
That's a lot. For
strong
a $90
stuff.
Minimum donation. And you can break that puppy down to $7.50 a month if you want to. But you've got to call 877-500-5266 and make that call right now and talk to our lovely volunteers back here. Katie, Adrian, and Donna are waiting for your call. We've got a $300 goal, pretty very nice, modest little goal for Per's show. And I know that you want to contribute to that and make that go. If you're already a member, you want to give just an extra donation, it's going to be doubled. That's the part of the excitement
doubled.
of this membership drive. Just a little mini 3-day membership drive. We're doing that because we know you like that and you can do it. You have always you are listeners, of which we are all listeners as well, are the people that contribute, that make this station happen, and it couldn't be more important during this time for that to happen. 877-500-5266.
That's right, 877-500-5266. And Per has a great guest on today, and he had a great guest on last week. I remember hearing that journalist from Haaretz. And these are fascinating shows. And Per, Teresa, Linda Olsen-Osterlund, all these wonderful, Joanne Hardesty, all these wonderful people work incredibly hard on their shows to bring them to you. It's a labor of love. And what they do is very important, and what you do is incredibly important too. So please pick up that phone, dial 877-500-5266. One more time.
KBOO.FM.
Yeah, or KBOO.FM or 877-500-KABU. Very simple. And please pick up that phone and make this a great and positive day.
Well, now we are back with our guest, Robert McChesney. We're talking about his most recent book just out called Blowing the Roof Off the 21st Century. So tell us about, now you're you've written a lot about the media. Where is the media right now? It seems, at least the newspapers seem in a pretty bad situation.
Well, I think the whole field of what's called journalism is disintegrating and dying. Commercial journalism, and we see that primarily through newspapers. That was the main place working reporters have been employed in our history, but including quite recently. And commercial journalism is failing. Largely because advertising, which provided the vast majority of the revenues to support commercial journalism, no longer needs to support journalism. That's more true online than it is with old media. So it's a fiction to think, well, we're losing newspapers, but we've got the internet to replace it. In fact, old media, newspapers, magazines, even broadcast stations, are the only places really where journalists still have jobs and they're disappearing. Mm-hmm. Once you go online, the revenue base for doing journalism, for people to get paid to do it, to have editors, fact checkers, proofreaders, is all but non-existent. So we're entering this incredibly dangerous period of a journalism-free zone. And our system of governance is predicated on there being an informed, participating citizenry, and that's predicated on there being a viable, credible, independent, uncensored news media. We're losing that, and it's sending us into places I don't think we want to go.
Can we keep newspapers going? Here in Portland, we have three free newspapers. Two take a lot of ads from the music industry and club dates and stuff, and the other one is sort of funded by some guy with money. But how do we keep newspapers going? I understand they are making profits, just not enough profit for some of the investors. Is that true?
No, again, I wouldn't get too hung up on newspapers per se. I couldn't care less about ink and paper per se.
Mm-hmm.
The question we have to be concerned about is whether we have a place for people to get paid to cover their communities, to do journalism, whether we can have competing newsrooms, so if one newsroom misses a story, someone else will get it, whether we have people paid so that beats will get covered that no one can do voluntarily. You know, I'm willing to cover the Portland Trailblazers for free if I can do it from my watching TV and write about it. But I'm probably not willing to go out to the county board meeting when they're doing really complex stuff on toxic dumps. You got to pay someone to do that, to be obligated to cover it. That's what a society needs. And the real issue is whether we're going to be able to pay anyone, whether it's at a newspaper, a magazine, or at a website, to do journalism. How are we going to do it? The market has failed. Capitalism is throwing in the towel on journalism. They don't do it anymore. You've probably got about 30%, 35% the number of paid working reporters across all media today than we had 25 years ago in the United States. Newsrooms are shrinking. They're disappearing. And we've got to solve that problem. And probably most of the journalists we're going to get when we solve the problem are going to be digital. That's where everything's going. It's going to be online. It won't be printing up paper necessarily. The key thing is the content of journalism and the practices of journalism are what we can't afford to lose.
Well, what about the internet now? In your book, you talk about three things we can do about the internet. One is to end the ISP cartel. So tell us, what is that? What is the ISP cartel?
Yeah, the end of the book, the final chapter, I talk about sort of radical, immediate demands we should be making for communication that would lead us to a post-capitalist democracy, put us on that path. One of them is what I call the ISP cartel. In the United States, due to some secretive and entirely corrupt policies that were done without any public involvement, without congressional involvement, without any news media coverage, the Federal Communications Commission basically granted the cable and phone companies the right to privatize the internet as much as possible so that we have internet access in this country. Now, it's controlled by a cartel, AT&T, Verizon, and Comcast, that have divvied up broadcast the broadband markets between them. They don't really compete with each other. And so Americans get broadband access and cell phone access. We pay usually much more than almost any other country, and we get much lousier service. We used to be number one with a bullet. We were the top country 15, 20 years ago in internet access, internet speeds. Heck, we invented the darn thing in this country. Today, we're ranked, depending on what you look at, between 15 and 35, and we're falling. And the reason is simple. We've got three companies that completely dominate internet provision, broadband provision, and there are three other companies that sort of tail after them, like T-Mobile. And these companies have no incentive to invest in their networks to make them high speed, to bring down the cost, because they've got a cartel. They have no competition. They own all the politicians. And they're complete parasites. They're making a fortune. Verizon, AT&T, Comcast, they're doing a lousy job. We've got to get rid of them. They're parasites. They serve no function. Broadband access should just be a utility. It should be something that's free to everyone and controlled like the post office. Mm-hmm. That's the rational solution to the problem. And it's a sign of the corruption of our society that these entirely parasitic and useless corporations own all the politicians, and that's not an issue that can be raised. But I think we've got to start raising it.
And you also talk about journalism as like a public good. That's quite a concept in this day and age.
Well, it was well understood that way by the founders of this country. The framers who understood that democracy in the United States, a Republican rule, a constitutional rule, could only survive if there's a credible independent journalism that would draw people without property into the political process. And because of that, we instituted an enormous postal subsidy. The post office basically distributed almost all American newspapers virtually for free for the first 50 or 100 years of American history. And it was a huge subsidy consciously made so we'd have a much broader, much more diverse newspaper culture than we would have had if they'd had to pay full freight for postage. And they understood that you had to make it a government subsidy to create an independent press, or the provision not to censor the press doesn't mean anything if there's no press not to censor, if that makes any sense. And we're in the same boat today the framers were in. The era of commercially viable journalism is over. And to the extent commercial interests influence journalism today, it gives us sewage. We need to set up independent, nonprofit, non-commercial news media with public support, but without any government censorship. That's got to be job one in the United States for media activists. Everything really rides on our ability to do that.
Okay, we're going to take another little break. We're going to talk to our friends who are trying to get you to join KBOO, be part of the KBOO family. And when we get back, I think we'll talk a little bit, a few minutes left, we'll talk a little bit about community radio. But right now, we're going to go to our friends.
Thank you, Pear. My name's Lynn. I'm here with Will, and
hello.
We are here to ask you to contribute this morning by calling 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. And I want to thank restaurants who've done their part to contribute to feed our hungry volunteers. Gravy at 3957 North Mississippi Avenue, offering a full range of breakfast options for egg lovers, meat lovers, veggie lovers, and vegans. The Knuckle Sandwich at 2137 East Burnside, Unit D, is serving a variety of sandwiches, soups, and dogs, open at 11 a.m. 7 days a week. And Mississippi Pizza Pub, 3552 North Mississippi Avenue, more than 10 years of pizza and salads for the community, along with music, trivia, karaoke, and bingo.
That's right, and we want to thank those folks for their support of KBOO, and you too can show your support. Those restaurants have shown that they believe that KBOO is a very, very valuable resource in a great city, being Portland. You live here, and maybe you don't live in central Portland, but you live out in the Tigard or Beaverton or somewhere. Maybe you live in a different part of the state. Maybe you live
like,
in a different
you know
part of the country.
Lorraine this morning from Graves River, Washington, contributed. She called up and contributed, so that's what we're talking about.
That is awesome.
Tony renewed from Portland, and Stephanie renewed from Oregon City, outside the Portland. Two people outside the Portland metro area. Thank you very much.
You people are marvelous. We want to thank you very much. They picked up the phone. They dialed 877-500-5266, and now it's your turn.
Absolutely.
We have this terrific book where Pear is talking to the author. We have many other great offers. We have the Chinook book, which I know plenty of people are using. They have e-coupons on there too, so you can use it on with your phone. I'm not really sure the technical side of that, but I know it happens. And so there's all sorts of great things. This is a wonderful, terrific radio station, and you are a wonderful, terrific listener. But why not become part of the community? Why not become more active? Why not become a member of KBOO? And you can do that by dialing 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. What do you think, Lynn?
I think it's a great idea. I think we also are partnered with Friendship of Trees, where all donations of $75 level or greater can have a tree planted by Friends of Trees in addition to your regular thank you gift. We've got all sorts of stuff today, and all you have to do is pick up that phone and dial 877-500-5266 or go online and in our secure website, kboo.fm. That's another great, great, great way to do it. You can also come on down to the radio station.
That's right.
at 20 Southeast 8th. We will let you in. We have no guards as yet. It's still the people's radio station. So come on in, see what the best in duct tape and baling wire can do. We are, our modest digs are down here, and we are happy to show them off to you, a member. If you dial 877-500-5266 and take advantage of some of our amazing gifts. You can get this book by Robert Machewski for a blowing the roof off the 21st century. Sounds like a fine idea to me. It's a $90 minimum donation, which can be broken down to $7.50 a month for an EFT, electronic funds transfer. Will?
That's right. That's correct. And it is a great opportunity. We do have an open door policy. You can walk on in, meet our wonderful receptionist. We'll give you a cup of coffee. You can get a tour of the station, find out what's going on, find out where your donation goes. And do we still have that matching grant?
I believe we still have. I think it's matching all day as far as I know.
That's awesome. So if when you pick up the phone and dial 877-500-5266, your money will be doubled. Whatever you donate, whether it's $20 or $120, it will be doubled by that wonderful organization. And we are very, very fortunate to have their support. We're very fortunate to have your support. And KBOO can't survive without the support of the community and without the support of all you wonderful listeners. We don't take advertising.
No, we don't.
We aren't supported 83%. By the Ford Foundation.
No, not yet.
We aren't
yet.
Supported by Bechtel. We are supported by you, the community that is Portland and that is KBOO.
That's
the
right.
The radio station that you love and that we love. And you can become part of the we. I don't know. I'm sort of digging myself into a hole here with this chat. Anyway,
Let's just give some statistics here.
That sounds good.
83% of our money is directly from individuals. Absolutely, 83%.
That's a big percent.
That's a big percent. So we depend on you. You out there, the listener. You're listening. You know you like the station because you've got it on. So just pick up the phone. Don't procrastinate till the end of the drive because it's only 3 days.
You've
got
right.
just a
and it's
little
a whole
bit
lot
of time.
Cheaper than cable or satellite radio or many of the other things or the internet provider you go through. It's very, very cheap to support.
And
KBOO.
We don't. We're usually on the air too, budget. Almost all the time, 24/7. Whereas yep. your cable people can sometimes poop out on you. So we are 877-500-5266, 877-500-5266.
That's right.
Donate now. You know you want to do it, so
make it
just
happen.
Go ahead.
Yep, you can make it happen. It's a very, very positive thing you do today on a rather grim, cold, and wet day. You can pick up, you can be a ray of sunshine by dialing 877-500-5266. And now I believe it's back to Pear.
Okay, and now we are back with my guest, Robert McChesney, who is the author of Blowing the Roof Off the 21st Century. Well, we've got about 4 or 5 minutes left. What can you say about community radio and TV in the future?
Well, it's more important than ever. One of the ironies of the internet is that when it first came along and hit in the 1990s, when the World Wide Web came along and made it ubiquitous, all the pundits, or many of them, and many academics are saying, well, this is the end of all sort of community media. This is the end of all public broadcasting. Not just in the United States, but worldwide, because once you have the internet, everyone can go online and do their own thing and tell it like it is, and you won't have any reason for any public support for media. And community media, like public media, gets government support. I mean, KBOO depends upon getting funds from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, much like the public stations in Portland and Eugene do as well. And I think what we've learned is that, in fact, the need for community media is greater now than ever before. Having the internet doesn't change that one iota. If anything, it enhances it by destroying all the conventional commercial news media. In many communities, and I know Madison is one where this is the case, the community radio station, like KBOO in Portland, is the station that oftentimes is closest to the actual community. The other stations are so hollowed out they can't do anything. And the genius of community radio isn't that it's radio, it's that it's community. It's that people in the community come together, create a station that does not pay any obedience to owners, to advertisers. It's volunteer-driven. It's a resource internal to the community. And whatever happens to the community, it's not going anywhere. It can't be bought and sold and sent to Santa Fe or to Venezuela or some other place. It can stay in Portland because it's a community resource. I think we need more stations like this. I'm a big fan of them. I'd like to have multiple stations in some communities. I'm a fan of competition in media. I just don't think it always has to be, nor should it be, commercial competition. It can be a non-commercial cooperative competition. At any rate, it's something that listeners to this show, listeners to KBOO, they've got to really understand that since there are no advertisers paying the bill, since there are no big ticket owners who are sort of writing checks to cover it, the genius of that is that it's accountable only to the people of Portland, in the community who listen. But it also means the people in Portland who listen, like the people listening right now, have got to step up to the plate and contribute and give what they can when they can. And when you do, you're going to be that much more a part of the station. If you haven't done it before, you're going to feel great. I mean, you sort of say, wow, I didn't realize I could really do that. You know, the statistics show that roughly 10%, maybe 12% of community radio's listeners actually contribute during pledge drives. That's the last data I've seen. You know, and if you're one of those 10 or 12%, I love you. Thank you. And keep it up and maybe give more if you can. But if you're one of the 90% that's sort of long for the free ride and letting other people in the community pay the bills for you, you know, you got to go take a look in the mirror.
That's right.
It's time to sort of say, what's the program here? Now, if you don't have any money, we get it. But you do have labor power. You have friends who have money. You can get something. You can do something to help.
Boy, the right man.
Get money in right now. Call the number they're going to give you. Make your pledge right now. This is serious stuff. This isn't PIN money. This is to pay the heating bill, the water bill, the electricity. This isn't going to junkets in Las Vegas with celebrities.
Boy, you know, the ride may not always be there when you want it either, but our time has come to an end. We've been talking with Robert McChesney, who is the author of this book, Blowing the Roof Off the 21st Century. Thank you very much for being with us, and thanks for your support.
My great pleasure.
And good morning. You are listening to the Mighty Boo, KBOO Portland. It is a rainy Thursday morning. Our mini membership drive underway, and coming up in just a little bit, Air Cascadia with Chris Andre. At 10:15, join us for Flashpoints, a report from last night's New York City protest after a grand jury failed to indict a police officer on the illegal police chokehold killing, that is, of Eric Garner. Also, black activists are outraged at Obama's commission on ways to demilitarize local police and what activists are doing in the nation's capital to restrain the growing pandemic of police violence. At 11 on Between the Covers, host Lisa Loving speaks with beloved author Molly Gloss about her new book, Falling from Horses. And at 11:30, it's Black Book Talk, a monthly program featuring interviews and discussions of works by African American authors. That is all coming up this morning on KBOO. Stay tuned. Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary up next.
KBOO at the Clinton, a monthly film screening at the Clinton Street Theater, is proud to show Five Broken Cameras on Thursday, December 11th at 7 p.m. The first ever Palestinian film to be nominated for Best Documentary Feature, Five Broken Cameras is a deeply personal first-hand account of life and nonviolent resistance in a West Bank village surrounded by Israeli settlements. Shot by Palestinian farmer Ahmad Burnat, who brought his first camera in 2005 to record the birth of his youngest son, the film is structured in chapters around the destruction of each one of Bernat's cameras. Again, that's Five Broken Cameras, Thursday, December 11th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Thursday, December 4th, 2014, and you're listening to KB.